We start hour number three. I am Jim Rome. What's cracking? Welcome to the Jungle program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We talked exclusively NFL for the first 2 hours. It's so good to have it back. If you're on hold, stay there. I've got time for telephone calls on the other side of this. But as promised, we are joined by a linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. Seven tackles and a sack in the season-opening win over Chicago. He led the Packers in tackles each of the last two seasons. He is a recipient of the 2019 Community Service Award. He was an all-conference player at Stanford. He was taken 131st overall back in 2016. Another big one for the Packers. They're at home Sunday against Minnesota. Blake Martinez is my guest. Blake, good to have you back. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing really well. Got a great win to open up the season and getting ready for a big game coming this Sunday.
That's it, right? Big one coming up and a big win to start the year. Let me take you back to training camp for a minute. There are reports of how good your defense was, but training camp, Blake, obviously is one thing. The regular season is another. How proud were you of how the defense showed up Thursday night and the statement that it made against a divisional rival?
Oh, extremely proud. I think all of us knew what we were capable of, and I know a lot, like just like you said, a lot of talk about this defense, how good we can be. And it was one of the things we emphasized throughout OTAs, fall camp, preseason, everything that, hey, once we get these pads on, we're allowed to play. We're going to show this team what we got. We're going to show this league what we are all about. And I think we did that on Thursday.
Blake Martinez joining us. Blake, on Chicago's first possession, they were on the verge of a field goal, or at least getting into territory, when you came through on 39 for a sack to force a punt. Take me through the play. What did you see, and how good did it feel to get home the way you did?
No, yeah, it was just a great play call by Coach Pettin, just using our certain disguise and kind of toy with their front and not allow them to know who's coming and who isn't coming. And at that point, he called the play for me and ended up blitzing through that A-gap, got free, and once you get those plays, you just want to get them down, and that's what I did and got us off the field.
Blake Martinez, my guest. Speaking of Pettin, how fired up were you when it was clear that he was going to come back as defensive coordinator in the offseason, and what is it about him that makes him so good?
Well, I was extremely fired up. Just from the standpoint last year, I think there was certain confusion for my individual self and just comfortability, wanting to get comfortable with the defense and have a defense locked in that I knew going into this, I guess I would say, second year with Coach Pettin. And I think what makes him so great is just his disguise, running the same type of play, just putting different guys at different positions, and then also knowing his personnel, putting guys in spots that he knows that they'll thrive in, and just allowing us to play.
Blake Martinez joining us. So one more thought about that D, Blake, because after the game, Aaron Rodgers went way out of his way, and he did it more than once. Out of his way to say, we've got a defense. We have got a defense. So how would you describe the defense in terms of both talent and attitude?
No, I think the talent is extremely there. Just all across the board, speed, physicality, everything that you'd want in any given position that you can point at on our defense. And then I think the attitude, the culture shift during this offseason and training camp has been incredible. Guys wanting to do extra, all of us doing conditioning after practice, making sure that we're ready to go to play 70-plus plays if we need to, doing everything from talking in the locker room, talking about little adjustments here on the sidelines. It's just a great culture that we're building, and it's just going to keep getting better every week.
Green Bay Packer Blake Martinez is my guest. Now, Blake, the offense, maybe the offense didn't exactly click the way they had hoped Thursday night, maybe, but you've seen them in practice. When they get rolling, how good can that offense be? And then in turn, how good is that going to make that team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have 12 taking care of the offense, it's going to start rolling. I think it's just one of those things that we went through it last year with a new defense, just getting comfortable and doing that type of thing. But when the offense is moving during practice, we have a tough time, and they can't be stopped. So it's one of those things, once all of us are clicking on all cylinders, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams, I think we're going to be an extremely scary team to play against.
You know, Blake, you made it pretty clear that last season was not ideal. In fact, you had a quote where you said, I'm not messing around this year. Last year I wasn't happy. A lot of things went into it, end of quote. So you're saying that, though, after a season when you led the team in tackles, you had a career high for sacks, but it sounds like you were not happy. So entering the offseason, what were you looking to improve upon?
Yeah, it was just the type of way I wanted to approach my off season. I changed it up last year, did a different kind of workout routine in a different area, and just went back to my roots, went back to my trainer, Glenn Howe out in Arizona, started working with him. I've been working with him for 10 years, and it's just been an extremely different kind of approach, and just so much stronger, so much faster, so much quicker, and just able to play the type of football that I want to play.
So as an example, as part of that work you did in the offseason, you dropped 3.5% body fat. You put on 7 pounds. I'm curious, how did you go about doing that? What kind of foods were you eating?
Oh, I mean, everything you can think of that's healthy. Waking up in the morning, having egg whites with avocado, going to lunchtime, turkey sandwiches, dinner time. Me and my wife would cook something up that's healthy, look up the, I don't know, top 100 healthy dishes you can make for dinner, and we just kind of switch things up and kind of have that as a bonding time.
So was it hard to make those changes?
No, I don't think it was. I think for me, I want to go into my career in the NFL and having no regrets, and that was one of the things that I wanted to pride myself on, and I know the type of person I want to be in this league, and I know the type of player I want to be, so whenever I thought about it being hard, I just reminded myself of that, and it made it easy.
Packers linebacker Blake Martinez is my guest. You know, then you've got a lot of guys on that defense looking to you. As an example, tackle Kenny Clark said, quote, "Blake is definitely a leader on the defense. He works hard. People see it, and that's why they give him the role that he has as far as his communication and everything he does, because everybody trusts him, and he comes in early, and he works hard as he can. We all trust him to do all that stuff," end quote. So how do you approach that? How do you go about being a leader, and how much does it mean to you that you've earned the respect of everybody on that side of the ball because of how you handle your business?
No, it means a lot to me. I think it's one of those things that I've always wanted to have, that work ethic that guys can look at and grow from. I want to be the guy that people can go to if they need any help, need any advice. I pride myself being out there on the football field, knowing every position on the defense. So if anyone's out of spot, I can put them in their spot and get them ready to play. And it just, my whole motto is just making every single person around me better. And if I can do that, I think I'm doing the right thing every day.
Blake Martinez joining me for a few more moments. You mentioned your wife. Let me ask you about your daughter, Kinsley. During the offseason, she was with you on move-in day. She got to walk with you from practice for the first time. What was it like to share moments like that with her?
Oh, unbelievable. It's one of those things you kind of get chills just thinking about it. It's something that I've always dreamed of doing, playing catch with her, walking with her at practice, walking down, doing the bike tradition with her. It's just been an amazing thing, and it's awesome to just see her grow up and be a part of this great journey for me and for my family.
That is amazing. Now let's talk about something for a minute that's not. Let's get to the really important stuff, like the fact that you had a chance to play classic World of Warcraft on your day off, and the server crashed. How big of a buzzkill was that?
Yeah, it was a pretty big buzzkill. I think it was, I always say there's sometimes I get signs of certain things, and I think that was a sign of that I'm not supposed to be playing video games and keep focusing all my efforts in football, no matter if it's an off day.
I see it working. All right, so really quickly, you've got Minnesota on Sunday. Have you given them much thought yet? And, man, they ran the ball really effectively. What are your thoughts going up against them, if you've given it some thought?
No, yeah, I think they're an amazing team. They have a great offense, great skill players, great offensive line, new additions on offensive line. It's just going to be a great test for us, and I think it's going to be another moment for us to go out there and show the dominant defense that we know we can be. And I think the run game is going to be one thing that will stand out. We didn't get a lot of opportunities in the Thursday night game. I think they ran the ball 12 times or so. So going into this game, it's going to be a tough task. And we're up for it.
Tough division. And another big challenge coming up. Blake Martinez, 7 tackles and a sack in the opening season win over Chicago. Next up, you got Minnesota at Green Bay on Sunday. Blake, it's always good to have you on the show. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
You too. Blake Martinez. That's why they give him all that responsibility on that defense. Good Stanford man. He's coming off a year where he had a career high, led the team in tackles and sacks, and still was not happy with his play and came back and lost 3.5% of his body fat, put on 7 pounds, and said he's noticed a big difference on the field. Minnesota at Green Bay. Who is the team to beat in the North coming off week 1? It's going to be a great division this year. All right, so still ahead, I've got Tom Curran, and that's coming up in the final segment, which means the next segment is wide open. 1-800-636-8686. I also want to talk about the ripple effect of that NBA blockbuster. Remember, Tobias Harris from the Clippers to the Sixers? That's still being felt, and I'll explain to you why that is. If there's another topic that you want to go to, that's fine. We talked about the Browns. I gave you my first or a complete week one recap. We talked about Antonio Brown, the Patriots, the Raiders. Hey, Rome, not bad for a running back. Signed to OJ.
Not bad for a running back.
Well, holding the knife, Liam Vancouver. All right, Hawk, let me help you with something. That's a really terrible email. Like, you should never bring me something like that. I can't stop them from emailing me that or tweeting that. But you can't bring that to me. Like, if you don't know that that's a terrible email, that's not good for your job stability, bro. And probably I should have this conversation with you off the air, not on the air, but that's just my snap reaction. Like, that's a really horrible email. It's not making anybody better. Lamar Jackson had every right to say, not bad for a running back.
There were so many
people questioning whether or not he was a quarterback. Never mind that this guy won the Heisman Trophy as a quarterback. He looked absolutely awesome, and I don't care who he lit up. He looked awesome yesterday throwing the football. All right, we are coming right back. Don't go anywhere. Do you love football? Do you live for Monday nights? Then you better get with the program and get down to Hooters every single week to catch the game and play Monday Night Moneyball. You're just a few questions away from a chance at cash prizes and Hooters freebies. You love wings, you love ice cold beer, you love the world famous Hooters girls. So head to Hooters and cheer, eat, drink, and go for all the bread when you play Hooters Monday Night Moneyball. Check out the HootersMoneyball.com. Check out that site, HootersMoneyball.com. Learn how you can have a good time and check all these things out. Once again, go to HootersMoneyball.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Dell's semi-annual sale saves businesses up to 45% on computers with Intel Core processors. Just call 877-BUY-DELL, 877-BUY-DELL, or visit dell.com/businessdeals. All right, so as I mentioned, the ripple effect of that NBA trade. Remember that blockbuster that sent Tobias Harris from the Clippers to the Sixers? That was back in February, and it's still being felt even right now. Because in that deal, the lesser-known power forward, Mike Scott, also made his way to Philly via L.A. I said Mike Scott, not Michael Scott.
That's what she said.
Anyway, Mike Scott. Mike Scott logged some quality minutes for the Sixers this year, all the way through that Game 7 loss against Toronto. In fact, he became something of a local Philly favorite in just over 6 months. He fit in really well. They embraced him. He embraced them. So much so that a group of Philly fans invited him to their tailgate party yesterday before the Redskins-Eagles game at the Link. So, I mean, that's how comfortable that guy is, right? I'm just going to hang out and party with and tailgate with some of the fans. In fact, so comfortable that he did it and did it in the other team's gear. That's how comfortable. And again, this is Mike Scott, but not Mike Scott, the guy who was from Dunder Mifflin or Scranton or any part of Pennsylvania. No, Mike Scott is from Virginia. Virginia. And most people from the Commonwealth, including Mike Scott, honk hard for the Redskins. So, around 7:30 in the morning, local time, you've got Mike Scott tweeting a pic of himself on the streets of downtown Philly, decked head to toe in Redskin gear. And the caption to the photo read, "On my way." I don't know. I mean, if at this point in time, if you're an athlete and you're on social and you want to give up a live shot of where you are, that's fine, I guess, if you're giving something away or you want people to come see you. But if you're going to tweet or post a live shot wearing the other team's colors and say, "I'm on my way," I mean, good luck with that. Obviously, let me just get this out of the way. wearing another team's gamer to a rival stadium should not be an issue in an evolved, civilized society. It shouldn't be. Especially if you play hoops for the local pro basketball squad and you're well-liked. But again, when did anybody ever say that going to games, pro football games, is evolved or civilized? We all know better. And it's not a Philly thing, right? Part of this is a Philly thing, which I'll get to. But overall, we know this. It shouldn't be like that, but it is. If you're going to wear the other team's colors in the stadium, you may have an issue. It shouldn't be a thing, but we know it's a thing, right? So, that's not just me. And in case he didn't know what he signed up for or what he was getting into, somebody from Philly jumped into Mike Scott's mentions and wrote, quote, "Mike, it's different here. It's not safe to be wearing Skins gear near the link. We love you, but some of these fans are insane." All right, so that person laid it out perfectly for him. We're not all like that, but know this, Mike. You might be one of us, but it's different here. That's not a good idea. Mike, however, did not take heed. Mike saw that and responded, quote, "What's going to happen? What's going to happen?" Well, unfortunately for humanity, the question of what's going to happen turned out to be anything but rhetorical because something did happen. A cell phone video surfaced yesterday afternoon of Sixers forward Mike Scott throwing hands with what looked like, in my count, at least five Philadelphia Eagles fans on his way into the stadium at the same time. Because, of course, it did.
Get out of here.
Have you seen this video? I wonder if somebody went with like the wireless Bluetooth speaker and held it up high with Drowning Pool bumping when Scott took on like five guys at one time. I keep watching this video and I'm not like YouTube, street, likes to fight guy, video guy, but I can't stop looking at this. That's a pro athlete fighting his own. As much as I wish I could make this stuff up, I can't. A freaking local professional basketball player, an NBAer who they love, trading hands with local professional tools. Over what? As always, at least there's a good reason. Team colors. In a parking lot. Outside an NFL stadium. Now, it's hard to get all the context from a cell phone video, but eyewitnesses say that a group of Eagle fans told Mike Scott to, quote, "get the bleep out of here," and, quote, "this isn't a fight you're going to win," end quote. You literally have Eagle fans who want to fight a Sixer player because he showed up in Redskin gear. And you know those same fans were thinking, hey, man, you were warned. You were warned. Then you've got a person with a PA system who started an a-hole chant for Mike Scott as Mike Scott was being pushed away from the group of Eagle fans. And at that point, clear as day, Mike throws a right hand, a big right hand, and then it's on. Like Mike Scott v. the city of Philadelphia. And despite being surrounded by guys looking to take him down, nobody lands a clean shot on him, and no one drops him to the pavement. I don't know, I mean, credit for taking on a grip of likes to fight guys, I guess, and coming out unscathed, I guess. But again, even for Philly fan, how insane is this? Not only are they trying to fight a professional athlete, they're trying to fight one of their own professional athletes, a guy they love. But that said, how does Scott not know better? How does he not know better and not get hooked? How does he not keep walking? He lives there. He works there. He, as much as anybody, should know what that town and what that fan base can be all about. I'm not saying the whole town, Philly fan. I'm not saying the whole town, and I'm not saying every fan. But like that one guy said when he jumped into his mentions, it's different here. My man, some of these people are insane. And some of them are. Because some of them tried to fight an NBAer because he wore the other team's gear. So there you go. While there may be some Sixer fans there, at the end of the day, the dudes he's trading hands with are not Sixer fans or even Eagle fans. Man, they're Philly fan. How do you not know? Philly fan. They booed Mike Schmidt. They booed Santa Claus. They cheered as Michael Irvin lay motionless on the turf. That guy could have been paralyzed or dead, and they were cheering. Scott, as much as anybody, should know that. Like that one person said on social, it's different here, man. It's not like other places. Some of them are insane. Of course you should be able to walk into the stadium repping your team's colors without having to fight five guys. Of course. But you can't, right? Look what happened to the guy. And this is not the only town either that'll happen in. Philadelphia is not some kind of like one-off and only in Philly. No, that could happen someplace else. And it probably still will. This guy's got to know that. He can't get hooked. He can't get hooked. He's the one with a lot to lose. You're a public figure who knows the part of the public is out to jam a fish hook in your bottom lip and then film it and push it out there. I don't think those guys that try to fight him are embarrassed. In fact, I think they had a pretty good day. And zero credit for the guys who did hook him, but you can't get hooked like that. Man, thankfully nobody was seriously hurt. You got to keep moving. You got to keep walking. Because he could have, and he didn't. I'm not saying it's easy. He may have been minding his own business, but you got to know something like that can happen, and probably will. The Sixers issued a statement yesterday which read, quote, "We're aware of the situation. We're in the process of gathering more information. We will have no further comment at this time." As for Mike Scott, no arrests were made. He still went to the game. According to his social media, it looked like he had a pretty good time. But according to everybody else's social media, it looked like he got into a fight with fans in the parking lot, which is going to stick to you a lot longer than just the end of that game. Like I said, ripple effect from that trade last February is still being felt. See, if Mike Scott had just stayed here in L.A., he could have worn whatever gamer he wanted to both Rams and Chargers games, and been in the vast majority. Man, nobody would have batted an eye, much less tried to dot an eye. That's Philly, though. That's not L.A.
You're wrong. That's a fight you're not going to win, Rams. That's a fight you're not going to win.
Looking right now at that overhand right. Then he threw at a guy half his size. This guy, a glancing blow knocked this guy. It was more of a push than a punch. Knocked him to the pavement. Man, my man jumped right back up. Before the referee could even start the count, my man was back up and in that fight. You think Philly fans are going to get much mileage out of that? Yo, man. Remember that time we tried to fight Mike Scott? Remember when we succeeded in fighting Mike Scott? Let's go look for Joel. Wild. Yo, man, where's Ben Simmons? Remember Philly fan how he used to look for the wild thing, Mitch Williams, when he was a bartender at that bowling alley? Hey, man, let's go to the bowling alley and harass Mitch some more. They will. You got to know that. So, I'm not even saying don't do it. I'm not even saying don't wear Redskin gear to a game. But if you do, understand there will be people looking to hook you and or fight you. You need to keep moving and get to the stadium and get to your seat. Quote, what's going to happen? That? And I bet he was feeling really good in the first half. I bet he was thinking to himself, man, there's going to be a lot of fights today. I'm rocking this gear and we are rolling them up. When we return... Again, so I'm clear on this. This is not just a Philly fan thing. But is anybody surprised that Philly fan tried to fight Philadelphia Sixer? Twice their size. And not backing down at all. And not at all afraid. Tom Curran's going to join me next. I want to get his thoughts on the Patriots. How good they looked last night. What they're going to look like with Antonio Brown. And is Antonio Brown going to be able to fit in? Stay down. Take advantage of what's turned out to be an amazing opportunity. Tom Curran joins me next. But I do owe you a sports update, so here it is. Tom Curran is coming up momentarily. We're going to talk all things Patriots with him. And whether or not Antonio Brown's going to fit in. How he thinks that will go. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so it's time to answer your ATP question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here is your ATP, Tom Curran, coming up after. Dear Jim, you asked Frank Gore a great question last week about his love of the grind. I want to pose it back to you. Even after this many decades of early mornings and late night prep, what is it about your work that you love so much? What is a daily routine like for you? Thanks. Snehal in Chicago. Snehal. I'd say I would answer the same way Frank Gore did. He said, when I asked him, what about that grind? What about the time you put in? It's not like you work out once. You still do 2-a-days, and you're totally committed. And his response was, I just love it. Man, I love the game. I love the work. I love to compete. I love the grind. I would say my answer is very similar to his, except that I don't play a contact sport. Being a radio host is not a contact sport. So it's a little bit easier for me to do what I do than it is for him to do what he does, but I just love it. I've always loved it. I've always loved it, and it gets more and more interesting the further I get into it because the game is so dynamic and it always evolves and always changes, and I want to see how I can evolve and change with it. And they pay me to talk sports. And they pay me to interview athletes. They pay me to watch sports. What's not to love about that? So my feeling has always been, I'm just going to do this as long as I possibly can until somebody says, yo, old man, beat it. We really don't give a damn about what you have to say anymore. So I roll out every single morning and try to find ways to make sure that doesn't happen yet. It's a good gig. It's easy. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so the NFL coming off week one. I mentioned that Thursday was kind of boring. Sunday was not. There was a lot of content and a lot to talk about. Joining us right now is a Pats insider for NBC Sports Boston, friend of the program, has long been coming on this show. I'm speaking of Tom Curran. Tom, what's going on? How are you?
Here's my guy. What's up, Romy?
My man, Tom Curran. How you living?
Everything's great. Really great. I'm just happy football's back. And I know that there's a lot of side stuff we're having to cover, a lot of soap opera stuff, but I think the product looked really good yesterday. The officiating wasn't irritating. There were some competitive games, great storylines, and it looks like my underestimation of the Patriots' offensive weaponry is about to get crammed down my throat.
My man, Tom Curran, joining us. All right, so why don't we start right there. For a team, Tom, that had to replace its Hall of Fame tight end and its D coordinator and supposedly had some other questions to answer, how good was last night for the Patriots?
Phenomenal. And I think that it's funny you alluded to the coaching right there, and I don't want to undermine anything that the players did, but I think that showed you that the way this train keeps moving. And I know that NBC showed, you know, Dante Scarnecchia and Ivan Sears and Belichick and Brady and McDaniels. I think that continuity makes an immense difference because when you take the individuals on the Patriots offense, they're, some of them are really good and some of them are useful. Rex Burkhead, you know, James White's great in the system, but Philip Dorsett, but they confuse you so badly because they can have these complex offensive schemes that you leave a Steelers team that's supposed to be okay on defense so confused they're losing people left and right.
We're talking to Tom Curran. Exactly, Tom. So to that point, if last night was that good for the Patriots, and it was, how bad was last night for the Steelers?
I don't know how many other teams in the NFL can stress you like the Patriots do with all those formations and all the intricacies of post-snap foolishness that they're going to throw at you, personnel groupings and all that. So probably not as bad as it looked for the Pittsburgh Steelers, offensively or defensively, because I think the Patriots, they're not scheme-related on defense in terms of how good they are. They do have good scheme, but they're really talented personnel-wise too.
Tom Curran, Patriots insider for NBC Sports Boston, is joining us. Tom, let me ask you something, because you know the Patriots as well as anybody or better. So let me pose the question that I ask about pretty much of everyone that I talk to around the league. How do you explain a 42-year-old man completing 2/3 of his passes for nearly 350 yards and 3 touchdowns against a defense that people thought was pretty good?
He knows where it's supposed to go. As he said to Peter King a couple of years ago after they won the Super Bowl, I know the answers to the test. So it's a matter of dropping back, having decent protection, getting it out fast, and if he's not having decent protection, finding whoever should be available. There's going to be times, and there were plenty of times last year, when he looked all of 41, and we talked about the cliffs and whether he was meeting it. And to me, it was personnel last year when he wasn't able to do that, and scheme. They weren't able to get the O's in the right place to beat the X's, and that's why he looked poor. Last night and ongoing, they put him in a position to succeed, and if all you have to do is that, and, you know, Romy, he reminds me of Nolan Ryan. He was still throwing at 46 in the 90s. There is something different about players like him, Nolan Ryan, Zdeno Chara, Manu Ginobili, all these guys who play so long, you know, Vince Carter. And I don't think that it is as rare as we think when we really look closely at it, if the guys take care of themselves and have a certain set of genetics.
Tom Curran joining us. Go back to your first point, though. The guys who take care of themselves, I mean, yeah, we see other athletes competing into their 40s at a high level, but how is it possible? The thing that blows my mind, Tom, about Brady is that he's lost nothing in terms of his desire to compete, win, but most of all, prepare. How is it possible that with all the wins and all the rings, that it never made him soft or comfortable or complacent, that he still is on that grind like he always has been?
It's interesting that I think if you really investigate year by year, there were periods where he hit lulls and dropped a little bit in intensity. But once he realized that he was about to get Bledsoed in 2014 and they brought Jimmy Garoppolo in and he said, they're about to do to me and take me out behind the barn the way I did to Drew, I see it coming. I'm not going to let it happen. Because the period of time, look, he was the league MVP deservedly in 2010. Unanimously. But 11, 12, and 13, he wasn't quite as sharp. And that's a fact if you watch those games and some of the performances. And some of it had to do with personnel. But I really think the presence of Garoppolo made him say, okay, how good do I want to be? How long do I want to play? What's the commitment level I'm going to make? And he said, screw it. I'm all in. And the most important thing to me is his passion is just body health for himself. And he wants to pass that on, as we've seen with the TB12 stuff. It's not this crystals and waterfalls and meditation place. It's a gym and a rehab center that he wants everyone to go to. So that's part of the reason, I think, Jim, that he's so passionate about it and is able to keep – he devotes himself like your trainer or somebody else's trainer does to getting up every day and saying, how well can I eat today? How much can I lift? How far can I go?
I think you're right. It's a lifestyle, and it's also a brand, and it's a business, and then he can easily point to it and say, look, I know it works. Look at me. I'm a living example that it works, and you should do the same thing. Tom Curran's joining us. Tom, you mentioned the coaching staff. I mean, a lot of that credit obviously goes to Tom Brady, but then you look at the offensive scheme that Josh McDaniels drew up last night, all the different looks he threw at them. At this point in time, how would you describe the relationship between Brady and McDaniels?
They're sharing a brain. And I think there are times when both of them have frustrations with the other. And we saw that bubble over on the sidelines a couple of years ago in Buffalo. There are times that they'd like Brady to be more aggressive. There are times that I believe, you know, Brady would like things to go differently and be surrounded by more toys. Or, you know, the Gronkowski situation is pretty well documented in 2017. Don't have to revisit it. But I think right now they're in an unbelievably good place. Because, you know, they're probably in the fourth quarter of the operation here. You know, they're well into the back nine. They're probably on the 16th tee if we're talking about it as a goal, as how long it's going to go.
Sure.
So they're going to enjoy the last three holes.
Tom Curran is joining us. It's a good analogy. And Tom, you made it. We actually made it this far without talking about Antonio Brown. Before I let you go, let me bring this up. You had a piece for NBC Sports Boston that was posted on Thursday night where you made the argument that the Patriots should not sign Antonio Brown. Lay it out for me. Why do you think they would have been better off avoiding him?
At that juncture, he had torn two teams apart. He had made them look ridiculous. He quit on both of them. Bringing him in means you're going to expect the player to go from being an absolute maniac to completely normal in a snap. And I think that it's also rewarding a player who has somewhat flown in the face of all that Bill Belichick holds dear in terms of teams, et cetera. And we could talk about Ocho or Albert Haynesworth or Corey Dillon or LeGarrette Blount. Throw them all out there. I think that what Antonio Brown has just finished precipitating last week trumps all of them in terms of erratic behavior. That's why I made the case. Now that he's here, I'm looking forward to watching the football, but I do wonder how long he can keep it up. And the other thing I'm sure you got to go is, how tolerant will the Patriots be if he spends 6 to 8 weeks of being a saint and then starts to revert? Will it be one strike and you're out then?
Tom, it's a great question. Can you answer it for me? How do you think that will go if he starts doing Antonio Brown things?
I think he'll get latitude. I think that they will. I think that they'll get hooked on the. I think they'll get hooked on the product. I really do, which is probably fine.
How do you see him fitting in with the other receivers and the rest of that team?
Socially, great. On the field, it'll be interesting because, as the Steelers writers were pointing out to me last night when I asked, you know, what's the care and handling of a player like this for a teammate, he does what he wants after the ball is snapped. If it's go to 14, come back to 13, and the ball will be on the way, if he sees a safety at 14 or maybe close by, he might veer and head in a different direction. And that's what caused Roethlisberger to have to hold the ball so often, pump, double pump. Brady's not going to really be down with that, as good as Antonio Brown is. So do they have to give him a set of plays that are, you just run down there, get open, take a left wherever you want to, and we'll find you? That'll be interesting to see, because everybody else has their roles and can deal with a night when they get four targets for 27 yards. Can Antonio Brown do that when he averages 10 targets a game for the course of his career since he's been a starter?
Tom Curran is my guest. We have him for a few more moments. So Sunday, okay. Tom, you've got the Patriots. One last thought for you. They're playing the Dolphins in Miami. The Dolphins are coming off an absolutely humiliating 59-10 loss. How do you see that game going? In other words, do the Patriots absolutely bludgeon the Dolphins, or maybe do they ultimately take it easy on Brian Flores?
I think the latter at this stage of Bill Belichick's career. You know, if it gets to 28-3 in the third quarter, you're not going to see, you know, fake punts as the Ravens pulled out with the 35-3 lead in the first half, or 35-0, whatever the hell it was. I do think you'd see probably a lightning of on the gas pedal.
Tom Curran, Pat's insider, NBC Sports Boston, good friend of the program as well, giving us his thoughts on the Patriots. Tom, great to see you, man. Thanks so much. Great to have you on the program.
Great hearing from you, and enjoy this. Enjoy the whole season, baby.
You know it. You too, Tom. You too, bro. I love Tom Curran. He's always a blast to talk to. Always has been. And we're officially underway. We've got a lot to cover. So he had made the argument before, you know what? Don't do it. Don't bring this guy in. And he said, yeah, I did say that. I absolutely did write that. But now that he's here, it's going to be interesting. Let's see how it goes. I loved his point that he made about Tom Brady, because that, to me, is what fascinates me the most about him. Not how quickly he gets it out, not his ability to read every kind of defense. He's seen everything that's ever been thrown at him. Not even his whole sense of, I know the answers to the test. Yeah, I mean, that's all true. I'm impressed by all that. But more than anything else, I'm still impressed, or most impressed, with this guy's willingness to prepare. He's all in, all the time. And Tom Curran's point was, yeah, not necessarily. There was a time where he may not have been all in, but then when it looked like the writing was on the wall and they were going to go with Jimmy Garoppolo, at that point, that chip on his shoulder kicked back in. And he said, they're not doing to me what I did to Drew Bledsoe. And ever since then, he really has been like this. Dear Jim, those Eagle fans did the right thing going after Mike Scott. Regards, that fat guy who went after Ron Artest. Leon Hartford, again, a little bit different. Quote, Ron Artest went into the stands to punch a patron. He went into the stands and punched the wrong patron. A little bit different. Not entirely different, but a little bit different. Hey, Rome, it's about time Mike Scott got a beat down. Dude has had it coming for a while. Regards, Toby in HR. Different Mike Scott. That's it for the program. I want to thank everybody involved today. We had Charles Davis back in hour one. Third hour was busy. We had Packers linebacker Blake Martinez right there, a Patriots insider for NBC Sports, Tom Curran. If I did not get to your telephone call, and I'm looking at a bank of lights right now, take a shot at it tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. See you then. We're out.